माधव मदन मुरारी राधे श्याम श्यामा श्याम जय केशव कलिमल हरि राधे श्याम श्यामा श्याम. So by chanting all of these names, Madhava, Madana Murari, Radhesham, Keshava, then this is Kalimala Hari. You know mal. Mal means dirt or filth or crud or all those mean nasty words. This is mal. So Kalimal, all that filthiness of Kali, Kalimala, Hari, these names, they just take away all of that filth of this Kali Yuga. Jai Keshava, Kalimala, Hari, Radhe, Sham, Shama, Sham. So we just chant Radhe, Sham. But sometimes people ask, why do we do Jai Jai Ti Radhe, Sham? But there's actually Shastra Praman for this. Because this body is a big well filled with so much pap. You know pap? Huh? Sin. Huh? We've eaten bigger than a mountain, so much pap has gone inside this deep, dark well of a body. So when you need to get something out of a well, just like sometimes on Brajmandaprikrama, where we stay, I don't know if on Navadvipa Mandaprikrama we see, probably not, because everywhere there's pukurs here. But some places we stay in Brajmandaprikrama, there's no hand pump even. There's a well, and we have to throw the bucket down into the well. And the first thing that our foreign devotees do wrong is they hold on to the rope too tightly, and it goes through their fingers, and they get nice blisters and burns and scratches on their fingers. You have to be very, you have to let it down very carefully. You let it go like that, it'll just. So that once their hand is burned, what do? They go like that, and then the rope goes down in the bottom of the well. Now what do? Now we have to pay the Babaji's for their new bucket. Nope. To get something out of a well, a deep dark well, what do you need? You need a hook. So they have a little rope. This happens so many times. They have a little rope. It's got so many little hooks on it. And they put it down there and they hook that bucket and they bring it back up. So to get something out of a deep dark well, you need a hook. So, Shastra, if you see this Ra, he's crooked, like a hook, even in English. You know, he's more like a hook, actually, in English. If you turn him upside down, he's just like a hook. Ra, like that. So, to hook on, to all down, we've eaten so much, filled this body with so much pop, so we need a Ra, Ra, so that Ra hooks onto all of that. Huh? Then we say, hey, Radhe. Hey is a aspirant, you know. Out, going out, going out, going out, going out. Radhe, out, 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 out. Now, we pull all of that pop out, 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 out. Now, we don't want to let it come back. So, when you say ma, what happens? Bund. Mouth becomes closed. We don't want to let it back in. Now we pulled it all out. We don't want to let it back in. Ma, Rasham. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Sham. Bund, don't let it come back. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurum Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namam Sri Chaitana Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sridhati Svaparandikam Aradhanaschanandanta Evridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again we start off by offering our most prostrated obeisances of those extremely soft and wonderful lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has brought us here to this most wonderful Dham of Sri Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada ki. So I was thinking one pastime, just like there's one song, E Bara Karuna Koro Vaishnava Gosai. So there, one verse is there. What is that? Kahara nikate gele papa dure jai. That's one verse. Actually, the verse I'm thinking of is Gangara parasha hoile paschate pavan. Darsani pavitra koro eto maragun. That Gangara parasha hoile, this is, they've twisted the Bengali. Actually, the word is sparsha. You know sparsha? Matra sparshas tu konteya, sort of, means to touch. So here it is meant not in, like touching, but Gangara parasha, by bathing, by touching the water of the Ganga, then paschate, just like, just like sun comes from the purv, and then he goes down in the paschat, paschate desha tarani. So after some time, paschate pavan, after some time you become purified. Just like some of us, like Nandi Mukhi, we went to Kumbh Mela, and we stayed there for a whole month bathing in the Ganga. So a whole month we had to stay to become purified. But here it says, Darshana Pivitra Koro Eto Maragun, that just by seeing the Vaishnav, you have to bathe many times in Ganga, gradually, but Darshana Pivitra Eto Maragun. Just by seeing once Vaishnav, we become purified. Just by seeing. And we had practical experience one time, in old days before there was terrorism and all these things, and we could take huge kirtan parties, 200 or 300 devotees, right inside the airport. Can you imagine? Now, at least in India, you can't get inside the airport unless you have a ticket. You know, only the ticketed passengers are allowed inside. And that's also, they started in LA also, that past a certain point, only ticketed passengers can go. Like that. So, but those days, we used to go right up to the, you know, the boarding gate with huge kirtan right through the airport. Everybody was going with, and we had 200 or 300 devotees and so many mandangas, so many kartals, huge. This is long before anybody even dreamed of terrorism. So, huge kirtan was going on. Everybody came, what's going on? Then everybody was coming off. Then finally, Prabhupada walked out of the door. Immediately, all the devotees, boom, they just hit the ground. So one fellow had come over. He was this, he was big black janitor, sweeper. Only in America we give them fancy names, sanitation engineer. In India we just call sweeper. But there he's sanitation engineer. But generally means they're not very high class type of person. So he's a big black fellow. He was sweeping the floor, mopping the floor in the airport. Anyway, he came over to see what was going on. So, as he couldn't see, but as soon as all the devotees fell down and paid their obeisances, then he saw Prabhupada and he began to shout, "Hey, look at that man, he's shouting, he's shouting, look at that man, he's shouting, he's shouting, look at that man, he's shouting, he's shouting, look at that man, he's shouting." Now, for those of you who can't understand black Southern English, you understood?
He's
shining. Shining, yeah. Look at that man, he's shining. Look at that man, he's shining. He's shining. Look at that man, he's shining. So even though he wasn't very elevated type of personality, just by seeing Prabhupada, he became so purified. He saw that Prabhupada was shining personality. So, where were we? We were at Baigam. Where Nanda Maharaj got a big fright. What happened, one time it was Ekadasi, and Nanda Maharaj, he was following Ekadasi. So, it was one of those days where it was there was only a little time to break the fast. Somehow or other, the titi was ending just after the sun rose. The titi was going to end. It was a very short time. It was one of those funny times. So, he decided to take his bath a little bit early. Now, you should know that ocean and rivers and lakes and kuns, they're all actually personalities. In the night time they sleep. So it is a fence. After night time, when it is late at night or early in the morning before Brahma Muhurt, it is a fence to take your bath. So too early before Brahma Muhurt, Nanda Maharaj, he came with all the other cowherd men, and they slowly entered the water, and as soon as Nanda Maharaj entered the water, the one foolish servant of Varuna was there. And he thought, what is this guy doing coming in and disturbing the water this time of the night? So he just grabbed him and dragged him, and Nanda Maharaj, whoop, and he disappeared. And all the cowherd men cried out, whoa, whoa, what happened? Whoa, what happened? And they all ran to Sri Krishna and told him a great calamity has just happened. Nanda Maharaj entered in the water and somebody came and grabbed him and pulled him out of the water and he just disappeared and he didn't come up and we can't find him anywhere. Like that. Every living entity in Braj ran to the bank of the Jamuna. The gopis came running and as soon as they saw Krishna jumping into the water along with Balaram. He jumped in the water and he disappeared. And when everyone saw that now Krishna and Balaram have also disappeared, everybody was just, oh no, hanging on the edge of their life breath. And the gopis were just practically fainting. And Radharani, when she came and saw her beloved enter the waters and not return, then practically she was... She was practically dying. She fell down and the pain was too much, and the gopikas, they were fanning her and trying to comfort her, but she was just crying and crying that without seeing my Pranavath, this pain is unbearable. So finally her good friend named Murchna, you know Murchna, she fainted and she was saved from the pain of separation from Krishna. So meanwhile, Krishna Balaram, immediately Krishna, as soon as he heard everyone yelling, he could understand that this must be the work of Varuna. So he entered all the way down to the kingdom of Varuna. And actually, it wasn't really Varuna's fault, it was the fault of his foolish servant. And Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that he already had Nanda Maharaj seated on a jeweled throne and already worshipped him before Krishna came. So as soon as Krishna came and demanded, what did you do with my father? Then immediately showed, no, see, your father is here. He said, you must forgive me because the master, he's responsible. He's just a foolish servant. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't understand your greatness. That even if there was some technical fault, it was a strange titi, there was only little time, so naturally he was taking his bath. And he doesn't understand either the technicalities, or he doesn't understand your position, But anyway, I'm the master. You should punish me. And he offered so many beautiful prayers to Krishna. He said, Oh Garbha Ratna of Devaki. You were worshipped. You were shining brilliantly in your worship by all the devatas. And you descend to earth, the Ratna Garbha. Oh, Garbha Ratna of Devaki. Garbha Ratna means the garb, the womb, the jewel of the womb of Devaki. You descend to this earth. Earth's another name is Ratna Garbha. Oh, Garbha Ratna of Devaki. You descend to this Ratna Garbha, to this earth, as an avatar, to relieve her burden. Burden means he descends as an avatar to relieve her burden, means Bara Avataraka. You're an avatar and you've come to Bara Avataraka. And you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you were worshipped by all the demigods. And actually, the dust means Raj. The dust of your lotus feet has removed my covering of Rajas. The Raj has removed the covering of my Rajas. Rajas means passion. When we know Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So your Raj, the dust of your lotus feet, your Raj, your Charan Raj, has removed my Rajas, my covering of passion. And this way he began to offer so many beautiful prayers to Krishna, and he finally said, now all the residents of Varuna Loka have achieved perfection by seeing you, and my life has actually, my birth has become successful by seeing your lotus feet. Now you please, my servant has done a wrong thing, but actually I'm the master, so you please punish me. Just see his nice attitude. Just like generally Murphy says that to err is human, but to blame it on someone else is more human. Generally we did something wrong, then we try to find somebody else to blame it on. But he said, no, he's saying here, not even he's done the wrong, my servant has done the wrong, but it is my fault, so now you punish me. But Krishna, he was very pleased by the attitude of Varuna, and he had actually manufactured this whole pastime just so Varuna could get darshan. He made his servant foolish and arrest Nanda Maharaj, and he was very pleased seeing Nanda Maharaj had gotten nice reception like that. So then he blessed Varuna that he would always have eternal devotion to the lotus, to his lotus feet, and then he took Nanda Maharaj and returned back to the bank of the Jamuna. When everyone saw Krishna and Balaram return with Nanda Maharaj, they were overjoyed, and the gopis somehow or other, they whispered, Krishna's coming. Actually, previously when he was gone, that's when Radharani fainted, then they said, Krishna's coming, and she opened her eyes, but not seeing her beloved, her eyes just became like two deep blue pools staring into outer space, like that. But when those two beautiful blue lotus eyes, now we say blue, sometimes I go to temples, you know, they painted Radharani's eyes bright, very light blue, just like our Tulsi. But blue is just like when we say Krishna's blue, it means very blue, like this Kokila, we also say blue. Very deep blue color, navy blue we mean. Radharani doesn't have light blue eyes like a German or something. So she has these beautiful dark blue eyes. They immediately suddenly came back to life, and her eyes began blinking, and she was so happy to see her beloved, and her life breath came back, and all the gopis revived, and everyone revived, and they were all so very happy. And then Nanda Maharaj, he was completely astonished. He was saying, you know, that Krishna Balaram came there, and he wouldn't believe it. This guy, whoever he was down there in the ocean, he had this huge palace and so much opulence, but I saw him bow down at Lala's feet. You know? And then he worshipped Lala and offered prayers to Lala. You know? Then all the cowherd men began to think, they began to wonder, maybe Gargacharya, he said that this son may be non different from Narayan, so maybe we have the Supreme Lord. Then they began to conjecture, well, if he's actually the Supreme Lord, then what is our destination? As they were walking back, they were all thinking and speculating in this way and that way about so many things. So Krishna can understand all their speculations. Now we're going to go a little ways off the path, but since it's all part of this pastime. Over between Vrindavan and Mathura, there's a place called Akuragat. Remember what happened there. Akura was taking Krishna, this is much later, he was taking Krishna Balaram to Mathura, and he stopped there, and he took his bath, and he came back. No, actually, he had Krishna Balaram went to take their bath. Then they told him to go take his bath. And when he went, he saw Krishna Balaram in the water. Then he came back and he saw them on the chariot. Then he went back and he saw Ananta Shesha and Vishnu. And he was just astounded. He paid his obeisance. He took his bath. And Krishna Balaram asked, "Do you see something astonishing?" He said, "When I have seen your lordships, what astonishing thing is left to see?" So the same place, this is much earlier, this pastime is taken, but that same place at Akuragat, right on the bank of the Jamuna, it's also called Brahmarada, Brahma Lake. So that Brahmarada, then Krishna heard all the cowherd men and Brijbhavati speculating about what is their ultimate destination. So suddenly at that place, he merged them into the Brahmajyoti. So they were completely liberated from material existence and merged into the Brahmajyoti, but being unable to see Krishna, they were in great anxiety. They thought, this is the most hellish. They were completely free from all material miseries and material existence floating in the Brahmajyoti, but they were unable to see Lala, so they were just in great anxiety. So then Krishna lifted them all the way up to Vaikuntha. And there they saw the great opulence of Vaikuntha, and they were astounded, and they began to think, in Vaikuntha, you can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can touch. Wow, and they began to see all the opulence of Vaikuntha, and everything was so wonderful, and they saw Lord Narayan, and they saw all these things, but they said, where's Lala? Where's Lala? You know, just like the gopis when they saw Lord Narayan. They said, which way did he go? They paid their obeisance. They said, which way did he go? He said, with that. So they saw all these things and they were amazed, you know. Because they're simple coward men, so they were just amazed at all these things. But then they said, where's Lala? Where's Lala? And suddenly Krishna raised them all the way up to Golok. And when they saw Golok, they said, this looks just like our own home. And then they saw Lala. And they were so happy. They didn't care about just seeing Krishna. They didn't care for the liberation of Brahmajyoti. They didn't care for the opulence of Vaikuntha. They were simply happy to see Lala, and they all embraced him and smelled his head, and they all went back to Nandagam. So before we cross, because we're at the bank of the Jamuna, we have to cross, but before we cross, there's many places here. This is a very interesting place we've come to. There's lots of places all around here. So one place that's nearby, it's right on the highway when you're coming to Vrindavan, just on the, as you're going, coming from Delhi, just on the right side, practically the last village you see before you get to the turnoff at Chatikara, there's a village called Jait. So what happened in Jait was when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, all the demigods assembled at that place and they were chanting Jayate, Jayate, Jayate. So over the years, gradually it became a Jait. Jayate to Jait. Now on the other side of the highway, there's a place called Sapoli. Can you guess? Sapoli. Samp. Sampoli. That was called Sapoli. So one day, and we figured it out, it was Balaram's appearance day because Balaram wasn't there. His mother Rohini had kept him home for observing a special festival for his birthday. So Balaram wasn't there, and all the cowherd boys, they were playing beautiful for us. The kokilas were singing. Huh? And there's another bird. I heard him this morning. Do you hear sometimes? You know that one? Huh? You heard anyone in the morning? Well, usually the whole bunch of them, so it sounds like Outer Limits or something, you know, because one, they're all out of sync, you know, so one would be... And the peacocks were crying, ew, ew, like this, and all the boys and all the creepers were climbing up the trees and raining down their flowers on the path for Krishna and Balaram to pass over them. And like this, they were running through the forest, having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, this Agasura appeared. And he took on a huge form, and he opened up his mouth until it reached up to the clouds. And when the cowherd boys came running, they saw, what is this? It looks like a big cave. But this cave has been neglected for so long, it's actually taken on the form of a snake. Just see that wind that is shaking all the leaves, that must be his breathing. And the red sparks coming out, that must, that's almost like the poisonous breath. And these two teeth are like big peaks, and these rows of teeth are just like banks of a river. And that little creeper that's hanging down, that's almost like a tongue of a snake. And look at all the veins in the side of his mouth are like little creepers that are waving us to come in. This is actually a big mountain cave. And somebody said, well, actually, it might be a big demon. Anyway, if it's a demon, then Kanha will kill him. What are we worried about? So all the cowherd boys, they started to go inside the mouth of the demon, and Krishna was there, and he said, no, no, it's a snake, don't go. But it was too late. They didn't hear him. They'd already entered into the belly and fallen unconscious due to the poison. Then Krishna was, it described that even Krishna was amazed. He stood there looking. Even he was amazed at the workings of his material energy. So, he was thinking now what to do. So he thought nothing else to do except go inside. So he climbed up, he went inside, and that snake, he wanted to shut his mouth, but suddenly by the influence of Krishna's mystic power, he was unable to, all of his limbs, he was unable to move in, anymore. He was unable to do all the functions. He couldn't shut his mouth, and suddenly Krishna was feeling just like a red-hot ember in his throat, and he was paralyzed, and then Krishna began to expand and expand and expand and expand and expand and blocked his throat, and he was suffocating, and his life, finally, he was just blowing up and blowing up, and then, boom, he just popped, just like sometimes you see the big, if you ever seen a big melon, if it gets super ripe, then suddenly just, boom, pops open, all the seeds go flying here and there. So like that, pop, he just blew up. And then Krishna, by the nectar flowing from his supremely sweet personality, just by glancing over the cowherd boys, they all came back to life and they all danced their way right outside of the mouth of that serpent. It looked just like Krishna was the sun rising from behind a mountain peak. And he came out, and he was dressed most dazzling golden dhoti, and his just shaped like his color was just like a dark blue lotus like that, and he had peacock feather in his hair, and he was just brilliant like the sun, and that spirit soul millions times brighter than a star came out of the body of that snake and hovered in the air. When Krishna, that beautiful form of Krishna came out, then zoom, in front of everyone's eyes, he merged into the body. Confirmed. Everybody was, all the demigods showered, they were totally amazed that Krishna killed this demon and still he gave him liberation. They were totally amazed. So, after all this, the cowherd boys were very hungry. So they began walking along the banks of the Jamuna looking for a nice place to sit down, and they found a nice place. There's no footprints here, all the birds have flown away, and it's very peaceful and quiet, and there's nice grasses nearby for our calves. So they all sat down, just like a whorl of a lotus flower, with Krishna in the very center. And his most dearest friends, with a reddish glow, were sitting close to him. And then the next dearest were sitting out like that, sort of orange, then yellow, then blue, then green, then violet, red, then violet. Like this whole range of beautiful colors were just flowing out like anything, just different rings and rings and rings of cowherd boys. But everyone saw that Krishna was sitting right next to them and smiling at them. No matter where they were sitting, they all saw Krishna sitting right next to them and smiling at them. And then some of them took leaves, some of them took the bark of the tree, somebody just put it on the edge of their dhoti like this, somebody spread out their chadar, some of them just put their prasad right on their thigh like this. Everyone, somebody just got some rocks together, everybody brought out their different things. They had these little cowherd boy sticks. On the end of those sticks they had little bags, so everyone opened up his little bag and they all sat down to have wonderful feasts. At that time, because when Krishna killed Agasura, then the demigods had come, so Lord Brahma heard something funny is going on there in Braj, so he came over, and he looked down, and what did he see? That Krishna, he pulled out from his bag a great big laddu, and he took a bite out of his laddu. And he gave to his friend, hey, why don't you see what type of sweet my mother Yasoda made for me? You know, and that friend took a sweet and took a bite, and that other friend took a bite out of his sweet and gave it to Lala and said, hey Lala, just see what type of sweet my mother Yasoda, my mother made like that. And Krishna took that sweet. Do we do like that? Do we bite our sweet and give it to our friend? Do you do like that?
Sometimes.
Not ordinarily. So Brahma was watching all this and he became confused. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even ordinary etiquette, we'd never eat something and give it to someone else, and these people are eating their sweets and giving them to Lala like that. And Lala's eating his, you know, this Krishna, this so-called Krishna, he didn't call Lala, he said Krishna, who's supposed to be the supreme, because he's biting his sweet and giving it to a friend. What type of achar is this? You know, we're trying to, sometimes they give course, you know, Vaishnava etiquette, you know, we learn all these things, not to do these things, huh? So he thought, is this some Bhagawan, or is this just a made by the cowherd boys Bhagawan? So he decided to make a test. So that village is called Parikam. Comes from Parikshit. You remember Maharaj Parikshit? Why was he called Parikshit? Do you know? Because he went around testing, examining everybody, if that was the same personality I saw in the womb. Because just like, you know, when the exams come, you know, then all the little children say, Pariksha, 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 isn't it? So, that village is called Parikam, where Brahma was doing examination. And so many villages, connected with this, so, pastime. So, Brahma, he very carefully, by his mystic power, enticed the calves away from where the boys were sitting. And suddenly all the boys jumped up and looked and said, where did the calves go? We don't see them anywhere. And then Krishna said, jumped up and he said, all right, you just sit down, I'll go find them, don't worry about it. And all the cowherd boys sat down. Do we do like that? If Guru Maharaj wants something, we say, yeah, Maharaj, go get it. Do we do like that? No. We go get it, right? But Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, no, you guys don't bother yourselves. You sit down. I will go find the calves. You enjoy your meal. Don't bother yourselves. Krishna is so kind to his devotees. He's the Supreme, but we couldn't even imagine, you know. Imagine if Jayapataka is sitting here, he wants a glass of water, you know. And he starts walking off and you say, what do you want, Maharaj? I'm going to get a glass of water. Oh yeah, go get it, Maharaj. We'll sit here. Will you do like that? But Krishna is so wonderful. Huh? He's so kind to his wife. He said, don't bother, you keep eating your lunch. I will go find the calves. So he wandered off to find the calves. And he wandered here and there and he couldn't find them. When he came back, what did he find? He didn't find. Nobody was there where they were all sitting. He looked around and then he could understand, oh, this is Brahma. Then he thought, if I go home without all, I got so much trouble for eating clay. Now if I come home without all the cowherd boys, what kind of trouble am I going to get into? So then he expanded himself exactly like all the cowherd boys, whatever they were wearing, whatever their funny mannerisms were, you know, some like to go like that, you know, and everybody has his own different mannerism. So he does all their different mannerisms, all their different dresses, all their different shapes and colors and sizes, everything, he and all the calves also. And then he entered into Braj. And very interesting, almost every day when the cowherd boys came home, they would tell their mothers all about the big demon that Krishna killed that day. Nobody told anybody about any demon that day. And all the mothers bathed and washed their children, and Lala came home, and Nanda Maharaj, he picked up his son. He was so soft, just like this tamal leaf. Huh? He was afraid that his beard was going to scratch the soft skin of his son, you know. And he pulled out Krishna's turban and very carefully, making sure his beard didn't touch, he was smelling the head of Lala like that. And Mother Yasoda, she massaged him with oil and washed off all the dust of the day and dressed him, and he sat down and took his meal like this. And the next morning, all the cowherd boys assembled outside of Lala's house, and then they all went out to the fields and all the way up to the edge of the forest. All their mothers and fathers were following them. Then Krishna had to take them all back. And then they started again. And everyone started to follow again. And he said, don't worry, Baldava is here. All my friends are here. I'll be all right, Mata. You know? He said, we're all right. Don't worry. Baldava is here. He'll look after us. Don't worry. Somehow he convinced them. And then he went. So every day this was going on. But very strange thing was going on. Everybody used to love Lala more than their own son. We may like all children, but we like our own child the best. But in Braj, everyone liked their own children, but they loved Lala more than their own child. But from this day, they began to love their own child just like they used to love Lala. And the cows, they also used to love Krishna so much, but from this day, they began to love their calves almost as much as they used to love Krishna. Yeah, everybody was just becoming overwhelmed like this. And Balaram was trying to go, what in the world is going on here? Huh? Then, one day, now, before we discuss what happened one day, just imagine, this went on for 1 year like this. Krishna manifested all the calves and cowherd boys. This was actually a very, very special mercy. Because everyone in Braj they were envious of Mother Yasoda and wanted to have Krishna as their own son. So Krishna fulfilled their desires for 1 year like this. This was a very special mercy. Another thing to consider is just imagine the glories of Braj. The Supreme Personality of Godhead became a calf and was eating the grass of Braj. Can you imagine how glorious is Braj that Krishna himself was eating the grass? And to eat the grass, you know, because the calves, they're very greedy. They just pull it up right from the roots. That means dirt is coming also, dust. There's many places we can go to Chitrakoot, where Lord Ram was wandering barefoot on that Raj. We say, Chittaku ke Ram Raj, Vrindavan ki dool, Ur mastak lagke sa paap hui dur. You just put that Chittaku, that Ram Raj, that dust from Lord Ram's lotus feet from Chittaku, or Vrindavan ki dool, that dust of Vrindavan on your forehead, then all your paap will go very dur, will go to Durban, in South Africa. That is the farthest forest of Braj.
Dur means?
Far. So Durban is the farthest forest of Braj. It's so far away, it's in South Africa somewhere. So Papui Dur, like that. So in Haridwar we'll find places, so many places we can find where Lord has touched that dust with his lotus feet. But there's only one holy place in the whole, all the millions of universes where Krishna was eating that dust. That pastime, next week we'll get to that pastime. But also even in this pastime, because those calves were ripping it up. I mean, if you're ripping up the grass, then some dust will come. Krishna was eating. This is the glory of Braj, that even Lord was eating the dust of this place. Who can imagine? So, one day, all the Kahur boys were playing on the side of Govardhan Hill, and they were herding the calves. And all the Kahur men were on the top of Govardhan Hill with the cows. Now, actually, this is 1 year later. Those cows already had new calves. And those calves that the Kahur boys were herding, they don't drink from their mothers anymore. But suddenly, all the cows with their big brown eyes and long eyelashes looked down the Govardhan Hill and saw their calves from the previous year. And they automatically, the milk began to drip from their udders. And they all began to run down the hill, and they were just stretching their legs front and back, then together, then front and back, and their milk bags were going kaboom, kaboom. And they were bounding down the hill toward their calves. And the cowherd men, seeing the cows running, calves are going to drink all the milk. Just like sometimes at Vrindakun, Pujari comes in the morning and says, "Where's the milk?" He says, "Oh, the calves got loose and they drank all the milk." So there's no milk for Vrindadevi today. He says, "Oh no," and they began chasing them down the hill, and those cows began to lick the bodies of their calves. These were older calves, and older calves began to put their heads underneath and began to drink from their mothers, and the mothers were just in ecstasy, and the coward men were so angry, all the milk is going to get ruined. And they came down the hill, and as soon as they saw their sons, their hearts overflowed with Vatsalya Ras. And they just took their children on their laps and took their turbans off their head and began smelling the fragrance of their heads and caressing them like that. And they forgot all of their anger. They forgot all the fatigue of the day. They were just enjoying. And Balaram was sitting there going, "What in the world is going on here?" He said, "Previously I thought these were all great demigods. But now it appears that they're all expansions of Lala." So he said, "Hey, Kaneya, come here. What's going on here?" So then Kaneya described to Dao what was going on. He said, "Acha, is it?" So a few days after this, 1 year was complete, and Balaram stayed home again with Mother Rohini. And all the Kahur boys went to the forest. Brahma thought, actually Sananda Goswami explains, that by mystic power, Krishna kept those Kahur, the real Kahur boys, somewhere else. Brahma took some Maya Kahur boys away. But he came back and he saw all the Kahur, everything was going on just like before. Krishna was playing with all the Kahur boys, all the calves were there, everything was going on just like before. By his mystic potency, he could see back there in Brahmalok, those Kahur boys were sleeping with the calves by his mystic power, and still he saw both. Suddenly, all of those Kahur boys and calves began to manifest as four-armed Vishnu forms. With millions and millions of living entities dancing around them in the sky, the moon, the stars, around each one. There was sun and moon and stars around each one, and all hundreds of rishis and munis around each one chanting Vedic hymns like this, and all the directions were there, and with his foreheads, he was looking in all directions, and it was expanded without limit. He was completely bewildered. When he became completely bewildered, then Krishna says, he wound it all up. And Brahma fell down just like a, what color? Golden rod. And he touched his helmet, all four helmets, to Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna was standing there. What was he holding? Chipped rice and yogurt. And Bhagavatam says, phalam. But from the Brijbasis, we learn that their favorite thing is chipped rice, yogurt, and there's a special type of achar called denti. Because there's a bush in Braj, this is the original bush of tree of Braj. It doesn't have a single leaf on it, only twigs and thorns. It's bright green colored branches everywhere, hundreds and hundreds of branches going everywhere, this way, that way, and very, 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 very sharp thorns. Very sharp thorns. Just like the Brijbasis, they say, Kataburo karilko or bararoti gam, sotburi chunki or sahaja kikam. Kataburo karilko, that karil, that bush, he's called karil. And kata, just because it cuts you, thorn in Hindi we call kata, because he cuts, so he's called kata. So kataburo, that thorn of that karil, he's the worst. Kataburo karil ko, or butteroti gam. Now these Brijbasis, they're just like the Japanese. They switch the R's and the L's around. So buttle, you know buttle? Buttle means cloud. But they say butter. Instead of L, they make it into R, butter. Butteroti gam. Gam is almost like Sanskrit. It means dupe, means sunshine. It's just like if you come to Vrindavan in the hot season, it may be 127 degrees, but you can walk in the sun because there's so much haze. The heat all around you will kill you, but you're able to tolerate the sunshine. But just like here in Bengal, it's always raining, you know, and in rainy season in Vrindavan, the rain washes all the dust and haze out of the sky. When the sun comes up from behind the butter, from behind the cloud, just like Lord Ramachandra, isn't it? In the rainy season, isn't it like that? The sun comes out from behind the cloud, just bing, Lord Ramachandra shooting arrows at you. Those who've stayed here, they know. It's unbearable. So one thing is this karil, his thorn is unbearable. The sunshine that comes between the clouds in the rainy season, that's unbearable. Sotburi chunki, you know, soteli. If you take a second wife, you still have one wife, you take a second wife, that's called soteli wife. So if you take a second wife in the presence of your first wife, that is also very painful. That causes too much headache and pain. Or sahaja kikam, doing business in partnership. He agrees. We'll see, we can see him. He's just in the top of the kadamba tree there. You see him? If you read any book on business, there's corporations, there's proprietorship, but when they come to partnership, they say this is the worst. They never work out, you know. So they say kataburo kariko or butteroti gam, sotburi chunki or sahaja kikam, doing business in part. All these things call very sharp pain. So where were we? Now I forgot. So that karil, he has got a very nice, just around Kartik time, these beautiful orangish, reddish flowers come. And there's no leaves, but suddenly these flowers, and it's just like a fountain of flowers, reddish flowers. In fact, I think this, because they grow in desert type areas, so maybe this is what Moses saw when he saw burning bush. Because it looks just like a burning bush. It's just fountains of reddish, orangish, reddish flowers like that. And then this little green fruit comes, that's tenti. You ever eat at Brijbasi's house? So it's about, you know, three or four times bigger than a pea, you know, with a little bee seed inside. And you get this type of little, you see these little green, it's not pea achar, it's tenti achar. So it's their favorite. They take this chipped rice and yogurt, and on top they put this tenti achar, So this is what Lord Brahma saw, Krishna with his chipped rice and yogurt and tenti, and between his blue lotus petal fingers, this yellow mustard oil is dripping down between his fingers. This is the sight that Lord Brahma saw. So, if you read that 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that is filled with so many wonderful prayers. Lord Brahma offered so many important verses are there, we'll find. If you read it sometime, so many important verses are there. So Brahma, he offered all these wonderful verses. He bowed down at the lotus feet of Krishna, touched his helmet, all the four sides, and then he got back on his swan carrier and went back to, well, he stuck around for a while. Because we're going to go back to Govardhan. We already told the story in Govardhan, but since we're telling this pastime. So what happened, Lord Brahma was thinking, wow, what a fool I was. Krishna was biting his sweet and giving it to his friend. Do you offer bhoga to Krishna sometimes? Did you ever see him eat it? Did you ever see Tulsi? You ever saw? We never saw. We have faith. Our Guru Maharaj told us that you put the Tulsi leaf and you say the prayers and you offer before the picture of the deity. We have faith that Krishna ate it, but we never saw. These cowherd boys, they were seeing Krishna was biting and handing to his friend. This was the real Maha Prasad. And Brahma was like, what a fool I was, you know. But since he's Brahma, he's the creator of the universe, he can't come there like a cowherd boy, you know, and wait for Krishna to hand him a bitten laddu. So he was thinking what to do. So one day they were having picnic on Govardhan Hill, and there was a little kund nearby. Now that kund is known as Brahma Kund. So Brahma figured out, after they finish eating, they're going to come here and wash their hands. And then if I become a little fish, then the remnants that come right off of Krishna's fingers, I'll be able to eat that, you know. And so he became a little fish in that pond. So of course Krishna's in the heart of every living entity. He knows everything. So he came there to that pond, and with his clean hand, he dipped his hand in the water and washed his hand over the dirt like this. Because unless you become a follower of the residence of Braj, and become humble follower of the residence of Braj, you can't get the real mercy, you can't get this Braja frame like the cowherd boys have. So we're very fortunate. We have the most intimate friend. Krishna said, one who preaches my message, there's no one ever more dear to me than he. And Prabhupada spread the message of Braja Prem all over the whole planet. So he's the most dear Brajavasi. We're all the followers of him. We're following the most dear Brajavasi. So no doubt we will get Krishna's mercy and get this Braja Prem. Like I said. So then all the cowherd boys, they went home. As soon as they got home, they passed by, on the way, they passed by the dried up form of Agasura. And they saw, oh wow, this would be a nice place to play tomorrow when we come. And they all went home and they told their mothers and fathers all about how, they were talking about it just like it happened that day, you know, because they were, you know. So, oh, I forgot, that's right, after Brahma left, and all of a sudden, all the cowherd boys were just sitting there on the bank of the river, and Krishna came walking back with all the calves, and everyone said, what took you so long, you know? And then Krishna sat down with all the cowherd boys, they finished up, they went back to the village, and all their mothers and fathers came, and they told how Krishna killed this Agasura. But they were talking about it 1 year afterwards. It had actually happened. So that place, there's a whole bunch. There's Parikam, Se means this or this. But, you know, Brahma was saying Se. So that village is there, Se. Then there's Chomwa. You know, Mu. You can figure it out from the Sanskrit. Muk. You know, Muk. So Mu. And when you want to say more than one, there's Muha. And cho, you can figure out char, you know char, so they just squeeze it a little bit and it becomes cho. So cho mua. There's one, this is the last village on the road, exactly on the road. You have to pass through this village. Jait is off to the side. Next comes Jait, but it's off the road. But this village, 10 kilometers before you get to Chatikar and turn down the Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark, there's cho mua. So that place, because all the cowboys, when they saw this guy with four heads, they were all, hey, who's that guy with the four heads, you know? Who's this guy with the four faces? So that place became known as Cho Mua, and that's where Lord Brahma paid his obeisances. Now it's interesting, because we were going to say, last Kartik, Ramdas Swami came with 1,000 people from Chopati. We had 20 buses. And it was all organized just like George Bush, you know. Because every bus had its walkie-talkie, and I was in the headquarters car in the front with Radha Krishna, and he had his walkie-talkie, and they would get to a turn, and he'd say, all right, bus number one, we need a right arrow. And then somebody would run out, and he would stand there with, you know, said, Chopati Iskan, and right arrow, like that, and he would stand there, and we were sitting there, and then we hear, you know, bus number one making a right turn. Bus number two now making right turn. Bus number three all the way up. Bus number 20 making a right turn and picking up the arrow man. This whole operation was like George Bush in Afghanistan. So, so anyway, we went to Tirgat and all these places, and we wanted to go to Say, because there's a place there called Brahmakund. It's way out in the middle of the forest. And we were going along in the lead car, and we came, there was a corner, and there was a tractor there, and they dumped with some type of crop. I don't know, I can't remember what it was, you know, something, I don't remember what you call it, but it was all over the highway. So the car just went straight, and all the buses went straight, and we were going along, we went through a couple little villages, and I said, gee, I don't remember this way at all, you know. I was getting confused, this doesn't look familiar. And all of a sudden, all the Brijbasis came running out of the fields and said, stop! Where are you going with all those buses? Because the road was getting, it was just room enough for the bus, and that was it on the road, you know. And it said, you can't go this way. Where are you guys going? So we're going to Say. Say? You missed the turnoff 2 villages back. There we are, 20 buses lined up on a highway that's only wide enough for the bus to fit on it. Everybody's plowing their fields, right? We can't take the buses into the fields, then they'll get with a, you know, 50 Vaishnavas in each bus. So, right beside our lead car, there was a field that wasn't plowed, you know, so it was still very hard, you know. Hadn't been plowed, it was very hard. So Radha Krishna said, all right, all the buses in the field. And it wasn't a big drop, so all, you know, 20 buses pulled into some poor farmer's field, you know, and turned around and lined up, you know. One after another, one after another, one after another. All of a sudden, the guy who owned the field came. Now, if this were in America, he probably would have brought a shotgun and, get hell out of here! This guy was in ecstasy. He was saying, now I know I'm going to get best crop this year because all the Vaishnavas have come on my field, you know? Frankly, he was dancing in ecstasy. He was so happy. He was just like, he was overjoyed that all, you know, 20 busloads of Vaishnavas came on his unplowed field. He said, now I know I'm going to get success this year. He was in ecstasy. Then we all turned around and we went to Say. And then when we get to Brahmakund, we had to walk like 2 kilometers completely out into the jungle. But, you know, after all this, then it became, you know, because everything always goes late and late and late and late and late and late. You know, when you're speaking of Braj Katha and Braj, it just goes late and late. So by the time we got there, it was completely dark. It wasn't completely dark when we sat down, but it became dark. And finally, only light was the stars and the moon. And we were talking all these wonderful pastimes. And then it was just, all of a sudden, it was just like Family Dog Auditorium. We had this ecstatic kirtan in the complete dark of the jungle. And everybody was just flashing their flag, just like, you know, in the Family Dog Auditorium, they had this big thing with all the mirrors flashing lights and different colored lights were going here and there. So it was like that. Everybody was just shining flashlights. But it wasn't hippies stoned, you know, all kinds of weird drugs. But it was all devotees dancing in ecstasy, all these big, you know, with their nice silk saris from Mumbai, you know, and nice makeup and everything, and their nice silk dhotis. We're out in the middle of the jungle and just flashing lights all over the place, like all the flashlights were shaking around. And for an hour, we just were going on having this kirtan, you know. It was so ecstatic, and everybody was just flashing their lights like this, and it was so nectar. So I don't think we're going to get across the river. What time is it? Anyway, we're going to go across the river anyway, whatever time it is. So, I think we've got all the villages nearby. So now we go across the river to Bandirban. Now Bandirban is a very special forest. The whole village, men, women, and children all together, is about 45 people. Yeah, and if you want to put on a feast, you know, only about 1,000 rupees you can feed the whole village. So sometimes they bring devotees there and they sponsor a feast for the whole village. So it's very sweet, natural forest, very beautiful place. And first thing is there is Benukoop. Because Krishna took his flute and he dug out a well. So Koop, just like you know Andakoop, the deep dark well of householder life. So this is Benukoop, well made by Krishna digging it with his flute. So we like it because it's made by Krishna's flute. All the Brijbasis like it because they say whenever Amavasya means the new moon, no moon, when Amavasya, just like tomorrow I think is Amavasya, no moon at all, if Amavasya comes on a Monday, hey, is tomorrow, huh? Day after, alright. Today's Monday, isn't it? Oh, missed it by one day. When Amavasya comes on a Monday, that's called Somavati Amavasya. And Somavati Amavasya, all the Brijbasis sing all night long, and early in the morning at Mangalartik time, all the ladies who haven't been able to have a child, or if they had a child and it was stillborn or died right after birth, they all come there in a brand new sari and take their bath, and then they throw that sari away and put on another sari. They all come there. Oh, all the kokilas are ecstatic hearing about it. I guess they all want children or something. Well, two of them we get to see today. So, of course, this is for material benefit. We're not interested. But anyway, that's what they do. They come there. There's little places, you know, there's these little walls about this high where the ladies can crouch down, and they dump buckets of water over them, and they leave their old sari behind. All the Brahmins in the village get the old sari. And they put a little cow dung swastika on the side of the temple there. And this place, one time, Krishna and all his friends were wrestling. And that time, Lalita and Bisakha and all, Radharani and all the Sakis came there. And they saw Krishna dressed as a wrestler. And they heard all about his exploits as a wrestler. So then Lalita Sakhi said, "We have a wrestler amongst us. Who can beat you any day?" So then they took Radharani and they pulled her sari up, you know, like you've seen some, like if you go to Bombay, you know, you see how the ladies in Bombay, the Marathi ladies wear their saris, right? They pulled her sari up like this and they pulled up her sleeves, you know, and they tied her belt very tight, you know, and she got ready to wrestle with Krishna. And this wrestling pastime Even the God of love came to see this. Kandarpa himself came to see this wrestling. There was no question of winning or losing. Each one was simply giving love. They were fighting each other with love. Giving love to increase love. Giving love to increase love. Just imagine this ecstatic wrestling match of Radha and Krishna. No question of win or lose. Each other was just pushing and pushing to increase the love of the other. In this way, the most ecstatic wrestling match, Malaryud, took place in this Bandirban forest. And there's a wonderful banyan tree there, Bandirbat. Huge banyan tree. Actually, we missed the opportunity. One time we came there, and 2 years ago they came with their yatra, and Srinathji promised to build because the platform underneath the tree was breaking. The roots had cracked it and everything. But somehow we never got it together. Srinathji promised to make it. But anyway, somehow Narayan Maharaj came there and he made a beautiful new platform. A big platform we can all sit on underneath this tree. So it's a very beautiful place. Beautiful platform is there to sit under this tree. And this, what is the importance of this Bandirbat? One time, the king of the cowherds, Nanda Maharaj, taking Lala with him, he took all the cows toward the Bandirban forest. At that time, Krishna got some idea and he made so many black clouds with lightning appear on the horizon. And then the wind began to blow. As you see, when the rainy season comes, it's just hot and hot and hot, and all of a sudden, you see in the distance this big line of black clouds coming and coming, and lightning is flashing. Then suddenly, even before the clouds get there, even before the rain comes, this cool wind begins to blow. Even before the rain comes to cool you down, this cool wind begins to blow. So Nanda Maharaj, he was seeing this, and he understood that we were very far away from home. Now if I run back with Lala, all the cows, when the lightning and rain comes, they'll run hither and thither, and then I'll have to spend days gathering them up. But if I stay here gathering the cows, then Lala's going to get wet and maybe he'll get sick. And he was thinking what to do, and suddenly there was a golden glow in the forest. And this beautiful Devi appeared before him, who is none other than the own Ladini Shakti, Sri Radha. But she had taken the form of a forest goddess. And Nanda Maharaj said, "Oh Devi, please take this little boy, please take my little Lala and run home, because if I chase after the cows to herd them home, then he's going to get wet and he'll get sick, and if I take him home, the cows will scatter here and there. So you please take him home to Mother Yasoda." And she placed that little boy in Radharani's arms and she held him just close to her breast. And she began walking through the forest. As she walked through the Bandirban forest, she came beneath this Bandirbat tree, this beautiful banyan tree. When she reached underneath this banyan tree, suddenly Lala became, she was in a Kishori roop, and Lala became Kishore. From little tiny boy, he manifested his beautiful Kishore roop. At that time, Lord Brahma was just finished, done his yajna in Pushkar. He was flying overhead. He came down and all the demigods came. And Lalita and Visakha began to decorate Radharani just like a bride. And Brahma began to chant the mantras for Vivaha Yajna. And all the demigods came and the apsaras came and Radharani was dressed just so beautifully with all the forest flowers and the crown of flowers and so beautifully dressed. And this, everyone seeing the beautiful forms of Kishore, Kishori, they were just completely in ecstasy. And Brahma performed all the rituals and he had Krishna put a garland of forest flowers on Radharani, and Radharani put a garland of forest flowers on Krishna, and then they switched again, and then they switched again, and then they sat in the yajna, then they circumambulated the fire with Radharani with her hand on Krishna's chest and Krishna with his hand on Radharani's back. They circled very shyly. She was seeing all these big personalities, Brahma and Shiva and everyone. Very shyly she was walking around the fire and Lord Brahma pronounced them as man and wife. And then all the demigods disappeared and all the Gandharvas, everyone disappeared, and Radha and Krishna began to wander through the forest, playing hide and seek in the forest together, and just wandering along, holding hands and wandering along the bank of the Jamuna, and just enjoying most wonderful pastimes. And then Krishna, he took some minerals from the forest and he began to smear them all over Radharani's face and make beautiful designs like that. And as soon as Radharani picked up the minerals to paint Krishna, he suddenly became a little baby child again. And she began to wail, "Where is my Krishna gone? Oh, where is my Kishore gone?" And a voice from the sky said, "Don't worry, in the future all your desires will be fulfilled. Now run home with Lala before the rain comes." So she picked up that little child and she ran home and put him into the hands of Mother Yasoda. And seeing this beautiful forest devi, Mother Yasoda paid her obeisances and thanked her very much. And then Radharani disappeared and took her little baby form in Kirtita's house in Ravel, like that. And the clouds, when they told the story of Radha and Krishna's wedding to the peacocks all began dancing and singing, "Ew! Ew!" And they made so much noise and thunder and lightning was going on that both of the mothers ran in Gokul. Mother Yasoda ran to see if Lala, so much noise is going on for the peacocks and thunder and lightning, and she saw this beautiful smile on Lala's face. And Mother Kirtita ran and she saw this beautiful golden baby girl with such a sweet smile on her face, and both of them in two different parts of Braj were dreaming this beautiful dream of about their wonderful marriage pastime at Bandirvat. So this is a very, very special forest. The only place in the whole universe you will see a deity of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna, instead of playing his flute, he's putting the sindoor, he's got his hand over Radharani's head, he's putting the sindoor in Radharani's part. Only deity in the whole world you'll see like this. Krishna's putting the sindoor in Radharani's part. Like this. Very, very, very special forest. So, this concludes the first half of our Braj Leela. I think tomorrow is day off. Then, I think 13th we start again? We only get one day off this time? Last year we got 2 days off, but I guess only one day. And we're going to shift over, they said the Samadhi Auditorium, but somebody's got to be posted at the door. We're going to sit outside in the shade, same time. So we'll sit in the shady side of the Samadhi, Prabhupada's Puso Samadhi, in one of the forests over there, one of the gardens there. We'll sit there and have our class there. So tomorrow is free day. I haven't even gone to Prabhupada Samadhi. I just run back and forth. I just go to class and come back, study, go to take prasad, come back, study, come here, go to take darshan and come home and go to sleep. So I'll go take darshan in Samadhi, maybe go to Yogapit, so many things I'll do tomorrow. So tomorrow we won't meet, unfortunately. Then after that, we'll meet very close, so we don't have to walk all the way out here in the wilderness. We'll meet by the Prabhupada Samadhi. We'll find a nice place. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Shyam Srila Prabhupada ki jai.